fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Glad to be with you again this morning. I love this time of the year. I love this time of the church year, this season of Advent. First, the preparation for the Christmas season and the celebration of the incarnation of our Lord coming in the flesh, the amazing story of the angel appearing to Mary, the Annunciation, the miracle of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her, and the beauty and the power in God's choice, of when the King of the universe decides to come to the earth and to become one of us, who does he choose? Does he go to the wealthy and the powerful, the important, the glitterati, you know, the politically powerful, the militarily powerful, you know, famous people? No, he goes to a pure child, a young woman, probably barely old enough to have a child, right? But of no account. The world doesn't even know of her. Obscure, simple, pure, humble, beautiful. That's who the Lord comes to. And you see, in this whole story, as we walk through now, preparing for Christmas, and we'll get to the point where we start reading about the Christmas story and the angel Gabriel coming to Our Lady, Mary's Magnificat, and Zechariah's Canticle, we come to understand something of who God is and what God loves and what God chooses and who God loves to commune with and communicate with, the humble and the lowly, and throughout Scripture and through Jesus' teaching, the humble are exalted and the proud are humbled. God draws near to the simple, to the poor, to the brokenhearted, those who are pure in heart. They're the ones that are going to see God. And Mary's the quintessential example of that. She's the quintessential disciple who shows us, really, how to be awake and to be alert, to live in the light, to respond to God's plan and purpose. Not my will, but yours be done, as Jesus said. Our Lady basically said the same thing, right? So I want to continue on with where I left off. If you had a chance to tune in the program this week, I've been going through some paragraphs in a section from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, from part one of the Profession of Faith, chapter two, talking about, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. So it's reflecting on Jesus and who Jesus is. And there's an article, there's a line in that creed that says, He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And so this section of the Catechism is touching on that, and beginning with paragraph 668. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I really encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. I think you'll be blessed and encouraged by the programs, and you can listen to them on the computer or download them on whatever device you have to be able to listen to them when it's convenient for you. You can also sign up for there's all kinds of good stuff on the website, let me put it that way, that you can sign up for our newsletter, which is free. You can get back issues of our newsletter. You can touch some of the ministry and the mission that we're doing around the country and around the world to help you see who we are at Renewal Ministries and what God's called us to do. Let's look at paragraph 670 today. Since the ascension of God's plan has entered into its fulfillment, okay, the ascension is what? The ascension of God's plan. Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father. Why didn't he just say the ascension of Jesus? Well, because God's plan in Jesus is so big. God's plan of salvation for the human race is to have Jesus become one of us. And from the inside, he would give to God as one of us, as a son of Mary. He would give to God what every single human being was made to give to God, but none of us did. We all fall short of the glory of God because of sin. Jesus gives to God what belongs to God. He radically loves God, and he radically loves God through radical obedience and surrender to the plan, the purpose, and the commandments of God. So when Jesus dies on a cross as a pure offering and sacrifice for our sin, to cleanse us, to make it possible for us to be united to God, for the holy God to be united to what was unholy but now has been purified by the blood of Christ, he's united to us, and as Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father, we ascend with him, the human race. He's the beginning of what now we've received in baptism as a down payment, that is sharing in the very glory of God. So again, paragraph 670, since the ascension, God's plan has entered into its fulfillment. Its fulfillment. God's plan is that Jesus would sit at his right hand in his human flesh, glorified. And he's the firstborn of an entirely new creation. That's the fulfillment. The new creation has begun in the person of Jesus. The Catechism says, we are already at the last hour. That quote is from the scripture, the last hour, the final hour. That period, the final, what is the last hour? The last hour is that time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. The first time Jesus comes in mercy as a lamb to lay down his life, to become a sacrifice for us and for our sin. But this season of Advent reminds us so clearly, as this very article of the Creed states, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. So this is a time of God's mercy for the world between the two comings of Jesus. Where God's headed, to where God's plan is headed, has reached its fulfillment in Jesus' return to the right hand of the Father. What he is, we shall become, we'll share in it. So this is the last hour. God's mercy is going out to the world, and humanity has an opportunity to respond to that offer of God's mercy, to come and share what belongs to Jesus, to become part of the new creation. The paragraph goes on and says, already the final age of the world is with us, and the renewal of the world is irrevocably underway. Okay, the final age, this last hour, these are different ways that the scripture, the church talks about this period between the two comings of Christ. It's with us now. We're in the final age. We're in the final stage of human history. We don't know how long it'll be. It could be shorter, could be longer, but we know this. This is the final age, the age of God's mercy for the salvation of the world. And the renewal of the world is irrevocably underway because Jesus Christ is the new creation. Because he's already shared that glory with us in baptism, and human hearts are being transformed. The kingdom of God has been established, and the renewal of the world, which comes not by our work. Here's what constantly happens in the world. By temptation, by sin, by weakness, humanity drifts away from the vision of God. Whether we're conscious of it fully or not, we rebel against the idea that God exists, that God has a plan and a purpose, and that if I'm going to reach my fulfillment, I need to follow his plan. I choose my plan rather than his plan. That's what the world does. And so the renewal of the world can become an obstacle in this way. It's God who renews the world. How does God renew the world? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. How does the world get renewed? It gets renewed one heart at a time. One sin-sick heart at a time repents, comes to God, receives God's mercy and love. And God's love is poured in their heart through the Holy Spirit. And the new work of God begins. Unfortunately, individuals, groupings, whole societies are convinced we can renew the world on our own resources. It's a kind of utopian temptation, and it never, never works. I mean, one of the big utopian temptations that was really incarnated in the world was communism. Rejected God and said, we're going to fix the world. We're going to bring about a perfect world, essentially. Every time we try to do that, it fails because we can't. We can't fix this world, friends. In fact, Catholic Christian, that's not your mission. Your mission is not to fix the world. Our mission as the church is to bring Christ to the world. And that happens in many ways. But we understand that everything humanity touches ultimately is affected by the power of original sin. And the world is in a battle between forces that are larger than any one of us. In a battle against the world, the fallen dimension of this world we're trying to fix, actually resists God. Look at the chaos that constantly is unfolding in the world. The wars, the rumors of wars, the lies, the corruptions, the perversion, the killing of innocent people, You name it. The world never stops doing these things. And it's our job to try to prevent those things from happening. But my first mission, I understand and I know, is to extend the kingdom of God by receiving Jesus and sharing him with others. It's God who's going to renew his world. He's going to renew his world through his son Jesus Christ and those who are united to him. But the renewal of the world comes through repentance and conversion and receiving the kingdom of God and entering the church. We're not going to fix the world on our own resources and then present it to God, to Jesus, when he comes. When Jesus comes again, there's going to be a lot of rebellion on the earth. The rise of the Antichrist will have taken place. And much of the world that's under his power and dominion will have risen to a kind of ascendancy that Jesus will come to destroy. And we'll read that further down here in these sections of the Catechism. I'll kind of touch on this whole area through the next few weeks, this section of the Catechism, but we'll see really what this world is destined for. So already the final age of the world is with us, and the renewal of the world is irrevocably underway. It is even now anticipated in a certain way, for the church on earth is endowed already with a sanctity that is real but imperfect. What is the renewal of the world? It's sanctity, it's holiness. It's sharing in the holiness of God by God's grace and by God's power and our saying yes to it. And that's present in the church, in her life and her preaching. The church is the place that Jesus established for this renewal to take place. And that sanctity is real. There's real holiness in the church. You can see it, friends, in the church's preaching and her life and her sacraments and the holy things of God, but also the holy people of God. There's a lot of people who never show up on television, who don't have radio shows, who are living very simple lives, but there's real saints out there that are growing in holiness, that are obeying the Lord, that are loving him every day, that are going deeper and deeper in relationship to him. They're the future. The future's not in our weapons, our money, our latest worldview, our trips to Mars, our creating of half-human, half-robot existence, artificial intelligence. People act like this is the future. This is the ultimate future. And they, the wise and the smart and the wealthy, have the future figured out. The only people who have the future figured out are saints. Because the only future is the future in Christ, in Jesus. Only Jesus can produce that holiness in us. And that can only come by being united to him, being conformed to him, and saying yes to him. So the last line in this paragraph. Christ's kingdom already manifests its presence through the miraculous signs that attend its proclamation by the church. So as the gospel is proclaimed, lives change. People's hearts are transformed. Even signs and wonders happen. People are healed. People are delivered from evil spirits. The dead are raised. It happens. It happens in this world today. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. But friends, we're in the last hour, and that's what Advent's about. It's a reminder who we are and the time we're living in and how important it is for each one of us to wake up and to say yes to Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.